Well, welcome on this very dark and rainy night to this gathering. I appreciate you coming to this event, and I'm hoping not to speak for too long because, as Libby said, we want to engage in a conversation with you about the issue of equal marriage, that we'd like you to become involved in some way in this issue, having been armed with the facts. Because as Libby says, there's been, I think, a lot of misinformation that has been spread by the opponents of this bill or this reference about the implications of this bill on religious institutions. And so I want to make clear that if it's true what the Liberals are proposing, and as Libby said, we only have the reference, then what the government has managed to do is very clearly separate between church and state the responsibilities of each of those parties, and I'll say more about that later. First I want to tell you about the Canadians for Equal Marriage, because there's not a lot that is known about this group. And it may very well be that it's because the summer has been taken over by the opponents. The church groups have come out, some church groups have come out in opposition, and that got a lot of play in the media. The Canadians for Equal Marriage were still putting forward their infrastructure. So you can imagine a group of people from very disparate backgrounds putting together without any kind of existing structure, unlike churches which have structures already in place. You've got a group of people coming together from across Canada trying to come together on an issue of human rights. So all through the summer we were slowly but surely putting in place the infrastructure needed to support a national campaign, which is the Canadians for Equal Marriage. And before I forget, I just want to remind everybody that if you want more information about the Canadians for Equal Marriage, you can always go to the website, which is www.equal-marriage.ca. And there you'll get a lot of information about how you can become involved in this. Canadians for Equal Marriage is truly national. I was on a conference call yesterday where we had people from representatives on the conference call from Iqaluit to PEI and to the West Coast, Vancouver. We have some folks in Victoria who are part of the BC chapter, but they are involved in organizing in the province, and they haven't joined up nationally. But the way that in which the structure is looking is that we have a national structure, it's out of Ottawa and Toronto, close to Parliament. You can understand why it would be in Ottawa and Toronto, where a lot of the MPs are. The provinces and territories are organizing their own provincial chapters, or potentially will have regional chapters. But at this moment, there's a BC chapter, and if people want information on how to join up with the BC chapter and become more active, please do see me later, and I'll take your name and forward it to the coordinator of the BC chapter, who happens to be Craig Maynard. The Canadians for Equal Marriage, by the way, is a nonpartisan group. There are co-chairs that I sit with, albeit by phone, who represent the Liberals, who represent the NDP, who represent the Canadian Alliance, or not Canadian Alliance, but the Progressive Conservatives, and the Bloc Québécois. And noticeably, the Canadian Alliance does not have anyone who has joined in to the Canadians for Equal Marriage. So it's a nonpartisan group. It's not all GLBT people either. We have straight but not narrow-minded allies on board. And in fact, we have the five people that Libby referred to are what we call working co-chairs. So we're out actually on the ground trying to organize. And we have two what we would call honorary titular co-chairs. And one of them is former Senator Lois Wilson, who was the former moderator of the United Church of Canada. And she has agreed to lend her considerable voice to the campaign. And prior to the the election call and she's certainly, by the way, Dr. Wilson is not aligned with any political group, but she sat in the Senate as an independent and was appointed as an independent person to the Senate. The other person who had agreed to sit as the sort of titular co-chair until the Ontario election was called was David Peterson, who happens to be a former Liberal premier of the province. And so you can see just by the two folks that have joined in to say that, you know, they agree that Canadians who are gay or lesbian should have the right to choose to marry. And I think it's very important that this is not about the right to marry, as it has been stated by some of the opponents. This is about the right to choose to marry, because just like heterosexuals can choose not to marry, this is about gays and lesbians also having the same choice as heterosexual Canadians to marry or not to marry. But in any event, we shouldn't be treated any differently or lose any human rights because of whether we choose to marry or not, and I think that's very fundamental. So the Canadians for Equal Marriage are national, we are nonpartisan, and we have people from across the country involved. By the way, I didn't mention Quebec because Quebec is actually has a separate organization that is organizing specifically on this issue in Quebec, and we respect their right to organize in the way that is most comfortable with them, and they join in with Canadians for Equal Marriage. They participate as well, but they're doing their own separate thing, and they're also letting us know what they're up to. But we have two there's one national, and then Quebec's doing its own thing, but in cooperation. We're not working against each other. We're working with each other side by side. So that's a bit about the Canadians for Equal Marriage. And if you have more questions, I've left something out that you think I should have answered about them, please just feel free to ask me when we get to the Q&A section. As Libby said, to me, this is very much an issue of human rights. I want to go back a little bit into history. And Jen, you'll tell me if I'm going to get the hook soon for speaking on too long, but this whole struggle for our community, the GLBT community for equal rights, started way before the Charter of Rights came into effect. In fact, some of you will know that we still had to go to the courts to get Alberta to change its human rights legislation to include sexual orientation as a ground of discrimination in the Human Rights Act. And thankfully, because we have a Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and in particular Section 15 of the Charter, we were able to use our Constitution to pretty well argue that the Alberta government had to include sexual orientation as a ground of discrimination under their Human Rights Act, because otherwise they would be affording Canadians who are gay, Albertans who are gay or lesbian, different rights and no access to human rights redress if sexual orientation wasn't added into their human rights code. And so ever since that Vreend decision, I think we took heart and said, well, you know, now that we know that the Charter of Rights very explicitly, and even before then we had a couple of cases that said that gay and lesbian rights to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation was an analogous ground under the Charter. and that we were protected by the Constitution of Canada, we started to first lobby our governments. We harp on the court cases, but I think a lot of people forget that many gays and lesbians and our straight allies have been lobbying, governments ever since 1985 to do the right thing and to include sexual orientation protections or to end discrimination against gays and lesbians in legislation. I remember at the time when I lived in Vancouver, I had lobbied the federal government to include sexual orientation as a ground under the Canadian Human Rights Act in the late 70s. So, our struggle for rights goes way back. But in 1985, with the coming in force of Section 15 of the Charter, I think it breathed new light into, how far we could perhaps get in terms of equality rights. The arguments that have been surfaced around equal marriage aren't new arguments. In fact, they're pretty old arguments. If you think back to the campaigns that we've launched, and I'll draw your attention to the Campaign for Equal Families in Toronto in 1994, where we said, at the very minimum, gays and lesbians should be granted the same rights as common law heterosexual relationships. That was very important to us. So we said, at a minimum, we should have the same rights as heterosexual common law couples. And we talked about being family. Our family is no different than your family. We have children. We look after our parents when they're infirmed or when they're elderly. We look after our kids. We have relationships. Some of them may be short relationships, but there are many in our community that have also been together for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And I'm thinking of Egan and Nesbitt, who had been together for, I think, 44 years when they took their case before the Supreme Court. So we've been fighting for recognition as family, equal status, common law. We got that dealt with, but not through our lobbying efforts. I mean, we really, really tried through the legislatures across this land to have our rights dealt with. But politicians, and I'm not trying to cast any aspersions on that group of people, it seemed very convenient for them to just say, well, this is a controversial issue, there's no consensus on this yet, and so therefore, well, we're not sure whether we're going to move on this issue. This was, seemed to be the common thread of what we heard. Didn't matter whether you were in BC, Ontario, or in the Northwest Territories, that seemed to be the common refrain. And and in 94, the Campaign for Equal Marriage or for Equal Families in Ontario, it was about an omnibus bill that the NDP government had introduced there to change some 80-odd pieces of legislation to recognize common law gay and lesbian relationships. Unfortunately, that vote failed. And so gays and lesbians were forced to the courts, and it's not as though legislators didn't know that. So, in BC, we had a situation where we had an NDP government who pretty well saw the writing on the wall and did amend laws without having to push the gay and lesbian community into taking court action. Now, having said that, there were still a few instances where gays and lesbians still had to go to the courts to have some rights recognized. But for the main, most of the legislation in BC was taken care of, and slowly across the country we had provincial legislators starting to realize that the courts were going to rule in our favor, and at the very minimum, and ending with the parliamentary vote that Libby mentioned, to change pension legislation and a whole range of different federal legislation to recognize and give us common law status at the minimum.